Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. If you wish now, you can get your Bible and turn it to Luke chapter 4. And in a few minutes, we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, as we study the temptation of Christ. Now, in Matthew, this is the third temptation. And in the study book we're looking at, even though it is following the Luke text, which in Luke is the second temptation, it's going by the order that Matthew gave those temptations, and this then is the third. And we'll be looking at this third temptation of Christ shortly after his baptism in just a moment. So while you're turning to Luke chapter 4, I will remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. Now let's turn in our text, and I'm going to reread a little bit of what we studied in the last class about this third temptation, because what Elam wrote was so well written. But first let me read the text itself. This is Luke chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. I'm actually going to begin reading here in verse 5. It says, "And he led him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, To thee will I give all this authority and the glory of them, for it hath been delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou wilt worship before me, it shall all be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, It is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Here we read from Elam's notes. This is the last temptation at the time, and it is the mightiest. It has been called Satan's masterpiece. In this, he throws off the mask and acknowledges that he is the prince of the world. From a lofty eminence, an exceeding high mountain, he spreads out before Jesus in a moment of time the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Jesus sees all. The luxury and ease, the pomp and splendor, the bright crowns and dazzling glories, the wealth of the East, the culture and refinement of Greece, and the power and triumphant armies of Rome. Satan offers all this to Jesus, saying, All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me, for it hath been delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. All this authority and the glory of them, it shall be thine. This was a great temptation. The love of worldly power and glory is one of the strongest, if not the strongest, human passions. Satan told no lie. All this had been delivered unto him, and he is the prince of this world. John 14 and verse 30. It would have been no temptation to offer to Jesus that which Satan did not possess. Satan could simply cease his resistance and allow it all to flow to Christ. Christ's kingdom, though, is not of this world. John 18 and verse 36. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. Revelation 11 and verse 5. Christ must rescue all from Satan. He did not dispute Satan's claim to these things. To reclaim them and to reign with God, Jesus must tread the thorny way alone. He must endure the cross and its shame. He must go through blood and the grave. If Jesus would give up this purpose and worship Satan, make him head and leader, then Satan would place Jesus on an earthly throne without his self-denial and suffering. Jesus felt the force of this temptation, but abhorred the thought and repelled the adversary with indignation, exclaiming, "Get thee hence, Satan," that is, "Leave me, thou arch enemy of God and men, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." That is written in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 13. Again, Christ's defense is the Word of God. It is written. This is sufficient. God is creator and ruler of the universe, and to worship and serve him is man's only and greatest good. To turn from him is ruin forever. Satan has done his best. He has presented all his temptations, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the vainglory of life. He has presented them all in his subtlest and most artful manner, and Jesus has resisted all. Satan recognized his defeat and departed from him for a season. Let me read to you about that in John chapter 2 and in verse 12, and see how it is that John builds up to this great saying of love not the world, and explains the way that Satan tempts man. It says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 12, "I write unto you, my little children, because your sins are forgiven, and for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I have written unto you, little children, because you know the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the evil one." John says, "I write to you," and then he says, "I have written." And just as Jesus always answered the temptations of Satan with what is written, the fact that it is written makes it permanent and authoritative. And that's what John is saying in 1 John. "I have written." And what is it that John has written? "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the vainglory of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Those are the things with which Satan had tempted Christ. The lust of the flesh in commanding the stones to be made bread. The vainglory of life in cast thyself down, and all will behold that not thy foot would not be dashed against the stone. And the lust of the eyes as he showed them all the kingdoms of the world. And Jesus resisted every trick that Satan had, that Satan has always been successful with every man in using these tricks, but they didn't work on Jesus. When Jesus had fought off the devil, angels came and ministered to him, and they came after victory, not to fight his battles. In all probability, they brought him food and sympathy. Angels, indeed, have charge of him now. Matthew 18 and verse 7 tells us that all will be tempted. It says, "Woe unto the world because of occasions of stumbling, for it must needs be that the occasions come." I believe it's in the King James Version that it says, "Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come." And those offenses come by way of temptations. And so we can say, "Woe unto the world because of temptations, for this must needs be that temptations come." All are tempted through their own lust. God gives us desires of our flesh, which in themselves are not evil. But when we let the desires of the flesh overpower the will of the Spirit, then we sin. It tells us in James chapter 1 in verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempteth no man. But each man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. Then the lust, when it hath conceived, beareth sin. And the sin, when it is full grown, bringeth forth death. Be not deceived, my beloved brethren. Now, one thing we know about temptation is that none of us are tempted above that which we are able. You know, when the children of Israel went into the wilderness, they fell by these wiles of Satan, and they were tempted and forsook their God and did wrong. And we are warned about failing ourselves after we become Christians and falling into temptation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 1, Paul writes, for I would not, brethren, have you ignorant, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all did eat the same spiritual food, and all did drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of a spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Howbeit, with most of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us make trial of the Lord, as some of them made trial, and perished by the serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them murmured, and are perished by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them by way of example, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Thou hast no temptation taken you, but such as man can bear. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make the way of escape, that ye may be able to endure it. You know, Eve fell by way of temptation when she saw the fruit in the Garden of Eden and tempted by the lust of the eyes. And it looked like it would be good to take for food and tempted by the lust of the flesh. And she thought it'd be something to take that would make her wise and tempted by the vain glories of this life. And so she gave in to those lusts and was enticed and sinned. But Jesus, facing those same temptations, overcome. So also the children of Israel in the wilderness. Every time Jesus quoted where he said, it is written, he's referring to a lesson that the children of Israel had learned in the wilderness. And they had failed those tests of the devil and those given in to those temptations and their lust. But Jesus did not, and used the very scripture that God gave them as lessons learned in the wilderness. He applied to himself and overcame the devil. Now, we don't have to sin either. There's a way of escape, and the way of escape for Jesus was to know what was written. And that's our way of escape as well. Temptations prove all and strengthen all who resist. We read that in the book of James, where it says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, and how that those temptations work to our benefit and to our strength. And so watch and pray, Jesus said, that you enter not into temptation. That brings this particular lesson to a close. Keep your Bible handy, and we'll return to the next class to finish reading Luke chapter 4.